So all I can say is I expect to see that every Sunday. Every Sunday. Right? You set a precedent now. So I was supposed to introduce our speaker today, but so here's the deal. You know, we have three or four of these a year, and it's something we're going to continue to do because I think it's incredibly important, and that is that we're sharing our God story. And so we need to hear not just from the pastor, but we need to hear from those who are sitting in the seats right with us and their journey and their story, because our stories are much more like each other's than you may believe. And so there could be somebody out here and you're thinking, well, nobody's got a story like mine. And then Harry gets up and so anyway, Harry's going to be sharing with us today, and he's going to be sharing his story. So would you give a warm welcome, Real Life Chapel welcome, for Handsome Harry, Holy Pants, Dancing Harry, I guess now.
Thank you, Frank. I think it's great to be here. Man, it's great to see all of you here. Is this thing working all right?
Yeah.
Good. All right. Just make sure you can hear me. So guys, you know, the road of life, I've been down a long road of life. It's been good and it's been bad. And also, the Lord has blessed me with many adventures on the high seas. The two songs before that related to my life on the ocean, sailing, one of my great loves. And He has blessed me to have that opportunity. And so right now I'd like to open in prayer before I start my testimony. Lord, Heavenly Father, give me the words for my testimony, the truth in my life. 71 years have passed me by, and how can I share wisdom with others when your given wisdom is so young in my heart, as I am only beginning to know your word? In my wisdom, can I catch up that others may learn through what I have to share? Oh, Jesus, you have brought me so much in what seems to be a very short time. My desires in my younger life were not of the desires you would have had me to follow. Lord, just thank you for being present this day and present every day. Amen. So I'm not here to tell you all sad tales of my life. I'm here to tell you of joy and peace that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has given me. Because you see, this is not only my story, but it is also God's story. Because without God, I would not have a story. So let me start out by telling you a little bit about my childhood. I was born into a fairly normal family, normal as I knew it. A loving mother and dad, two brothers, one older, one younger. Yeah, I'm already beaten. I'm the middle child. My older brother, Dave, he's here. He's part of this church now, and I love him for that. And I must say, for the most part, he was good to me. We had a lot of good memories hunting. Remember times being in the basement with him, up hours late in the night, painting silhouettes for goose hunting. That was one thing I really loved, Dave. But thank you for all the things you've given me. You have been a great brother, and I love you for that. My younger brother, Ray, he's a different story. He was a pain. But you know what? I loved teasing him. I would tease him till no end. I think it gave him character. We did go to church for a time. I was raised Episcopal, stayed long enough to become confirmed, I was actually in the choir. But, you know, I really didn't know who Jesus was at that time. It just never came to me. And we sort of drifted away from the church atmosphere. My father was a home improvement salesman. I don't know if you guys remember the movie Tin Man from Danny DeVito, but that's what my father was like that. He did a lot of drinking and running with his friends, and that became his addiction. He still took care of us, but things changed after a while. The closeness of our family was no more. Mom was still mom, but there was anger and arguing. It ended up in divorce. Both my mother and father were married two more times after that. My father was fortunate to become an Alcoholics Anonymous member. He stayed in it for 40 years, and he helped many other drunks. And he was very good at helping others. He may have neglected us, but he helped a lot of other people. And in his later days, we were close. Things ended up well. So anyway, my life kind of changed around the time of the separation. My happiness was gone. Self-esteem was broken. I lived a life in a shell. When I was with others, I would put on a mask as though things were good. I did that for many, many years. I would try to fit in by being like the others, but always somehow thinking there was more. You guys ever thought about there being more to life? Always searching? Well, I think that's part of life that we do. We keep searching for something, but it's out there, and I'll tell you more about that later. So, I never did well in school. I think I was graduated because they wanted to get rid of me, because I was I was a lot of trouble, and I hated authority. After I got out of high school, I went right to work for the family business. My father had started a fence company. The fence company is still in operation. My brother's son is operating it now. And, oh gosh, I don't know how many years it's been around, but it's been around for a long time. Anyway, my life was partying and having a good time. At that time, I didn't think much about God. I'd forgotten God. I was out for myself, out to enjoy myself and my own desires. I married at a young age of 25. Our marriage was pretty good. We had we bought a place in the country. It was an 8-acre farm outside of Smyrna. And we stayed there for maybe a year and a half or so. And then we decided that we wanted to go out and find ourselves. I don't know if you've ever heard of that before, but I did that a lot. I always was out looking, trying to find myself. So we sold everything. We sold the farm. I bought a Chevy van, and put it together for traveling. We went with a couple other friends that were doing the same thing. They didn't go as far as we did. They turned around and went home. We made it all the way to Corpus Christi, Texas, and settled in Corpus Christi, Texas. At some point, my younger brother showed up in Corpus Christi, Texas. You know, he always showed up wherever I went. I couldn't get rid of him. Anyway, my wife was a great musician. She played 12-string guitar and piano beautifully, and she wrote songs. And while we were in Corpus, she would get gigs in different bars. And I would even join in sometimes. I would be backup music and play the harmonica. I had a little bit of talent. So anyway, things were going good with that. We both had good jobs. You won't believe this, but I went back to work in a fence company in Corpus Christi, Texas. But that was a good experience. I worked with Mexicans, and they tried to tell me, they tried to teach me their language, and I would teach them my language. We got along great. It was a good experience. Anyway, my wife decided she wanted to join a band in Corpus Christi. So she got involved with this band, and she met up with one of the guys in the band, and forgot we were married. And so we separated, and I found other ways to entertain myself. So after a while, I decided I needed to get on the road. And I started to hitchhike across country. I went from Texas up to Jackson Hole, Wyoming. I had friends in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. They'd moved out there in the 60s to ski, and for some reason never went back to Wilmington. I can't understand why. Anyway, in my travels, I saw some beautiful areas. I saw the Grand Canyon, Zion National Park, the Sequoia Forest. Met a lot of good people. Met a lot of weird people on the road. Another good experience, though. Something I'll never regret doing. So I stayed in Jackson Hole, Wyoming for a couple weeks. Decided it was time to head back to Corpus Christi. I got on a Greyhound bus. Anybody ever traveled on a Greyhound bus before? Took me 5 or 6 days to get back to Corpus Christi. I think I could have hitchhiked faster. So anyway, when I got back to Corpus Christi, I found out that my wife had split and that she was really strung out. And she took the van, and on her way home, she had to sell the van because she ran out of money. She got back to Wilmington. She went to be with her father. Her father immediately put her in a mental hospital. And from what I understand, they were giving her shock therapy for this drug addiction. So after a while, she got released from the hospital. And she and I tried to get back. We tried to get back together and did get back together. We lived with my father and his third wife for a while. And then we decided we'd get our own apartment. So we moved back into an apartment that we used to have before. And that first night, that was our last night together, she asked me to take her out somewhere for dinner. For something to eat. She was hypoglycemic. She had low blood sugar. Well, it was getting late, and I needed to go to work the next day. I had gone back to work in the fence company. And so we just went to bed. Next morning, I got up, and I went to work. While I was at work, I got the strangest feeling that something was really wrong, really, really wrong. So I went back to the apartment. As I was walking into the apartment, I noticed the car was gone. The landlord came out and said that she just wasn't acting right. There was something wrong with her. So I went in, sat down in a chair and just started thinking about things. And then I just had this thought that came to my head, "Thy will be done." And about 2 minutes after that, there was a knock on the door. A state trooper came to the door and said, "Your wife's been in an accident." And I asked him, I said, is she all right? He said, "No, she didn't make it." So anyway, I went to identify the body, and she used to wear these weird socks, striped socks, or just all different colored socks, and I knew they were her socks, and I saw her feet first thing. And, you know, I couldn't look at her. I couldn't look at her face. I really couldn't. And I identified her that way, which was not acceptable. So her father had to come down and identify her. So anyway, let's see, where are we? Anyway, I talked to the trooper later on, and the trooper said, he told me that it looked as though she had aimed the car right at the tree, struck it head on. So I need not go any farther with that story, as this was the most traumatic thing to ever happen in my life. And I didn't have Jesus at that time. My heart was cold. I had no desire for anything. Dead to myself. So I had to start over. But in starting over, I didn't change my lifestyle. I was back into the old lifestyle for myself. Doing drugs, drinking, having what I thought was a good time. So I moved to St. Michael's in 1976 and stayed with friends, actually the friends that had traveled with us, we had started traveling with. I went to work with a marine construction outfit building docks and bulkheads. And through about 3 years, I took on several other jobs. And while I was doing that, I was introduced to sailing log canoes. I had never sailed anything else in my life, and log canoes were awesome. They're the ultimate thing to sail on. And through that, my life became sailing and working on the water. I love sailing. I love getting out on the ocean and being with the crashing waves and, you know, just like the song. It's just the love of my life. It's just so peaceful to get out on the water and on the ocean. Cell phones don't work out there. So in the meantime, I met my now wife, my beautiful wife, Linda. We were married in 1979. So if that serves me right, that'll be 40 years this December. I was really blessed to find her. I thank God for her every day. Even though she's a great wife, we still had our ups and downs. My foolishness, it's a wonder she stuck with me, but she did. So I'm still, even in my marriage, I was still having long periods of depression, guilt, lots of guilt for my wife's death. And something was still missing. I'm still searching. I was at a point where I felt no purpose in my life, but I knew in my heart there was more. Sort of the way I can relate to what the Israelites went through for 40 years, because I think that was about my period of what I went through was 40 years, wandering aimlessly through a dry and parched land. But you know, even though they were wandered around, God was with them and provided for them, just as he took care of me and provided for me all those lost years. Just think, not even thinking of him, not having him in my life, he loved me and provided for me. I was invited to Real Life Chapel by friends who have since moved on. Yeah, my first impression when I came to this church, the music, the surroundings, but the message. Now the message is what got me and kept me coming back. And poor Frank, I haven't left yet. I'm still here. So a great place. Great people. I was going to an Episcopal church with my wife for a while. I tried to fit in to that church, but it just didn't work out. I had a God-driven desire for more. That's why I kept coming back to Real Life Chapel. I mean, the message I was receiving here was so different. Jesus was brought to my attention like nothing before. I would listen to the gospel in the Episcopal church and go through all the traditional things, but I never related Jesus to church. So I really became involved with Real Life Chapel, and it gave me a purpose in my life for the first time. Now I had to share my experiences accepting Christ. I was driving to a job one day. I was on Longwoods Road, and I was listening to very, very soothing music, and I was in deep thought. And I remember saying out loud, I was just touched, "You really are alive," meaning Jesus. And at that moment, he came to me and took my guilt, depression, and my unworthiness from my heart. Ezekiel 36:26 reads, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." And that's just what he did. He took that heart of stone and gave me a new heart. I knew then that Christ was truly with me. Oh, Christ has given me so much. My self-esteem, my love for others, helped me with my selfish ways. I've come so far. The way he has transformed me, he is unreal. He has given me direction and purpose to share and spread his word to help others in any way I can. You know, I love greeting you guys on Sunday mornings. You bring me such joy, and I am so thankful for you. I truly have found my place with God, and my heart's desire is to do his will. Love my neighbors as myself, to love him with all my strength, heart, mind, and soul. Right on. But I am still a work in progress. Hey, but that's real life. Proverbs 16:9 says, "A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps." And the Lord has directed my steps to where I am now. And I love him for that. Hebrews 6:18-20. "We who have run for our very lives to God have every reason to grab the promised hope with both hands and never let go." Just remember, the Lord is the source, the heart, and also ought to be the greatest object of our desire. There are lots of good things in this world, but we have to be careful about what we want and why. When the Lord is our greatest, our first love, we are delighted in him. Every desire of our hearts will be perfectly fulfilled. That's the promise of this wonderful word. I was blessed to have some great adventures in my life, but the greatest adventure of my life is knowing and following Jesus. And I thank you all for listening. All for the glory of God.
So, now you know a little bit more about Harry, right? So there'll be a Q&A session at the end of this. So Harry's going to be down, and he's going to be at the door, and he's going to be saying goodbye to you guys this morning. So make sure when you leave today that you tell Harry how much you appreciate him and his story. It's important for us to hear this. Guys, the two most important things that we have is the gospel, which is God's story, and our testimony, which is our story. You know, the gospel story, the story of Jesus Christ, shapes our story. And we need to be able to share our faith and share the gospel with other people. And probably one of the most powerful ways that we can do that is simply by sharing our story and our testimony. You know, too many people are overwhelmed and think, oh, I couldn't possibly, I don't know how to share Christ with somebody, or I don't know how to do this. No. However complicated you're trying in your mind to make it or you think it is, it's not. It is simply sharing your story. That's it. And if you share your story of how Christ has impacted your life, it will have an impact on other lives. So, I hope you're encouraged by what you heard this morning, that someone else, maybe a piece of Harry's story, kind of connects to your story. Because that's the point. We're all here together. And all of our stories, you know, are testimonies of how much Jesus loves us and how he can transform a life if we just open our hearts to him. So it's going to come back up. We're going to close out with a song again. So I'm going to ask you to stand together. And I'm going to pray as we head into this song. But so now you know, if you ever see like a dancing silhouette somewhere, we got silhouette song, but there's a dancing silhouette. It might be Harry dancing out in the parking lot somewhere. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just want to thank you so much again for the privilege it is to gather here together as a body of Christ. Lord, I thank you so much for Harry's willingness to share his story, which is your story intertwined with his, with us this morning. So Lord, I pray that you would continue to bless him and strengthen him and give him the courage and the boldness to share that. And Lord, may all of us here be encouraged and challenged to share our testimony of how much you love us, how amazing your grace truly is. Lord, we love you and we thank you. Everybody sit together in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's sing together.